Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air. And good afternoon, Ashwini.
Hey, Michael.
Hi there. That was a great introduction, and I didn't realize all of the different time zone activities as they're being planned. And it's such a great way to be inclusive, as it seems that practice often is, especially in this more virtual year.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's amazing that we have Sangha who are going to guide these sits. There's been guides have signed up to lead these various sits at various times so that we can welcome the new year with everybody.
Yes.
In every time zone.
Yes.
Yeah. Just really looking forward to it.
Yes, and as Christina was talking about, doing it multiple times.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, if we read the confirmation, right, Michael, the invitation is to, just like we would traditionally do, start to sit around 9 o'clock your time zone and sit through midnight, and then dial in for the official sit at 11:45 in your time zone, and then mark the new year in your time zone. But if we're going to be walking and sitting for as a sesshin from whenever we start doing it, we could dial into every New Year across the world and have that experience. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's amazing how people can get creative with what's being offered, right, based on the experience that you want to have.
Yes, yes. And to me, that's a huge hallmark of practice, is the creativity that's available when I drop everything else and just get here and say, okay, life, how are we gonna do this? What's possible?
Yeah, I'm available and what's available.
Yeah. I'm available and what's available. Yes, yes. And I have announcements here if we're ready for that now.
Yes, please.
Okay. Our annual kickoff on Sunday, January 10th, we'll introduce the practice focus for 2021 and lay the framework for the year-long retreat, which starts a little early this year with an email class guided by Sherry in January and a two-week virtual retreat that includes workshops. And registration is now open.
Very exciting, Michael, what Sherry picked up for us this time around.
Yes, yes, I'm quite excited. A powerful and engaging recording and listening training course starts January 13th for those who want to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. Registration for the new quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies and Keeping Commitments Buddy program closes this Friday. As we transition into what promises to be an exciting new year of practice, gather virtually with Sangha for guided sitting and walking meditation as we bid this year farewell and welcome 2021. And that's what Christina and Jen were just talking to us about.
I think registration is open until tomorrow.
Okay, until tomorrow. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Then on New Year's Day, a workshop on letting go the old, welcoming the new, will support participants in dropping old conditioned patterns and delighting instead in what's here now.
Mm. That's going to be fun too.
Yes, all of it. Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm continually amazed that I can sort of always get more excited about practice. There seems to be a never-ending supply of excitement.
Exactly. And it's, you know, we've had a little bit of a hiatus after the 9 days of holiness is over, but the calendar is filling up once more.
It is quite amazing. It is quite amazing to me. And a few reminders, if you'd like to talk with Ashwini today, press *6 and then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. It's great. Okay, shall we get going here, Ashwini?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob in San Francisco.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
I put myself in the queue just because it dropped in to do that, and I don't think I've been in the open air queue for a very long time. But fun to be here. And and really, you know, there's nothing in particular that I wanted to look at. It just dropped in, so I did it. And I think that that's exactly what I've been looking at all year in practice, is essentially letting life lead.
Mm-hmm.
And actually feeling like there was, you know, a lot of stuff that happened in letting life lead. And it's just fascinating because, you know, like for many people, it was a different and challenging year in so many different ways this year. And, I can't believe that that it's ending as well as it is in my little world. You know, there's a lot of hard things happening around the world, but you know, I feel like practice is really, and the person practicing has just really been supportive.
Mm. Yeah, well, and going back to how you started us off, right, Bob, it's basically that, right, that we're willing to let go what stands in the way of being present and really building our trust to that which can guide us perfectly, regardless of how challenging it is. And it's often so wonderful to take stock, as we do, as you are doing, to look at, despite how hard and challenging it was, the practice was to listen to life's guidance. And somehow, at the end of it, you know, we're so grateful for how it turns out. Not because it had a particular outcome, but because there's a way in which we can be with whatever outcome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's the way you're talking about that. Exactly is how I've been looking at it, is that the conditioning is always pointing me toward the content outcome goal. You know, that's what we're going for. Now, I know from years of practice, all it really wants is my suffering and going after that goal. But, you know, and so, you know, the willingness just to keep dropping the conversation and just being here and practicing with that, wow, it's made life so much more enjoyable, and it's made me so much more available to participate in life.
Mm-hmm. So much more life more enjoyable, and you more available. And I project such a level of relaxation, right? Because what it's pointing me to is that ability to say, "Thy will be done," right? So surrendering to life's intelligence and getting here is surrendering ego's will, right? Ego's focus on a content outcome, or this is how it should be. And so it's that wonderful process is the outcome place, right? Because the willingness to surrender ego's will is the willingness to go with thy will, which basically fosters the ability to be with however it is.
Right, right. Yeah. And it also seems like that part of what ego wants is for me, you know, not that it really wants this, but it wants me to believe that I need to be a particular way amidst whatever is going on. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I looked at a lot this year is that at times things are really hard. And there's a person living this life, you know, attempting to participate in these really hard things, and it can just be hard sometimes, right? It can be painful, you know, but it doesn't have to be suffering. And I really, you know, I just draw that a very strict boundary between pain and suffering in life. Like, if it's pain, well, there's just pain, and then that needs to be attended to. If it's suffering, well, that's coming from ego.
Yeah. So to draw that really hard boundary between pain and suffering, where if it's pain and it's hard and it's challenging, that's fine. That's what you're participating in. But you don't have to participate in the suffering piece of it, right? That's what we would draw from. And I love the way you said it, right, Bob, that the suffering comes from having to be a certain way in a challenging circumstance, right? So you either have to be the right way, or you have to hold it together, or you have to have the answers, or whatever it is that conditioning puts on top of the way it is and the way you're experiencing the way it is.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things I've done is to give, you know, permission to actually just express what, you know, what needs to be expressed in that moment. And and it is such a relief because, you know, there's a conversation that leads up, that conversation wants me to be like, well, you know, if you're the right person, you wouldn't be sad, mad, angry, whatever, about a particular situation, frustrated, you know. But if I just express those things, you know, into the recorder out loud, you know, it takes ego's control and the meaning that gets attached to it out of those emotions.
That the ability to express what's going on with me, being in touch with it and being allowed to say it, is how we kind of stop the movement into suffering, because ego does not have the ability to take it and torture us with it, right? And so the we're seeing how that control, that ego control ego control operates, right? It's in the, you can't say anything, or you can't be this way, or you can't say what's really going on with you, you have to be this other way. And so just to be able to call out how your, how, what your process is, and it's not from identification, I would project, right, Bob, when we're talking, especially into the recorder, it may be that, that it sounds like we're coming from an identified place, but the movement I'm attempting to make is expressing authentically what is being done to me by ego. And there's freedom in that.
Yeah, that's great. All right, well, I'm going to let someone else jump on.
Well, and if I may, as a human being who's experiencing pain, which is also not an identification, right?
Right, exactly. All right, well, thank you so much. Thank you, Michael, and thank you, Sherry and Sangha. It's been a great year.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for everything you've done to make it a wonderful year.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Bob. And I can say amen to all of that conversation, Ashwini, and the difference between pain and suffering, and recognizing that something hard that I'm experiencing doesn't mean I did something wrong or any of that. It's just hard.
Yeah, it is. And it's such a relief when we are able to sort of look at how practice has sustained and supported us through those times, right? I mean, there's a difference between how going through something hard without practice feels like, and then being able to rely on Sangha and our practice to navigate some of the hard challenges that we've all been facing this year.
Yes, absolutely. And we have another caller here, Ashwini.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Laura from San Diego.
Hey, Laura.
Hey, Laura. Hey. So that was a nice kind of primer, because I have been recording and listening a lot around this topic that I wanted to bring up, but it still feels really murky. So at the end of my recording earlier today, what I just said was I was not going to prep, right, for, because I have the week off, and so I knew I could call in today. So I was, you know, just letting life see if I got in the queue. And so I have no clue how this is going to come out. So I'm what I'm looking at right now in practice is a piece of content related to a karmic around, there's just so many different aspects of it. It's just really good to see, is that learning, you know, using the recorder to really let this person talk. And if, you know, I've been doing recording listening for a really long time, and it's a place that I've really taken on this year to really let this person talk about all the things that are going on with her, irregardless of what it looks like.
So an exploration, right? So can you say what's going on for you uncensored?
Yes. And how much resistance there is to that. And so there's this piece of content around that, like, this karmic place around making mistakes or making, unconscious choices, making choices in unconsciousness, and having that come back to me and not know what the consequences are going to be. So, you know, there's this unconscious decision I made however long ago, and it's come to my attention that it was not a great decision. And so there are some unforeseen consequences that are going to happen, and I don't know what they are. And so looking at how to not go with conditioning and the voices to a pattern of regret or, ruminating and replaying that and all the sensations and suffering that comes with that. That has just been huge around just really that, like what the earlier caller was talking about, that hard line of like not going there, not going there, not going there. Mm-hmm. And wanting to look at what is available to me right now in my life to learn, like what is life offering me around this situation. Mm-hmm. And so there's this mm-hmm. other place around learning how to listen to the still small voice of life guiding and offering that, hey, don't go that way, go this way, how about this, try this, and realizing that as I do reflect on kind of the something that happened, like how often that still small voice gets neglected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not to feel bad about that, right, because you're in the process of training. So it sounds like the opportunity that you have is the ability to look at it all, to just keep, there's no outcome here, right? You're not attempting to figure it out. You're just attempting to explore everything that's arising around this particular thing in this particular context. So it does feel like it's not packaged because it isn't, right? There's so much that is being revealed to you as you record and listen about it. So there's a piece of, okay, well, there was unconsciousness. And, you know, Laura, if we knew, we wouldn't, right? I mean, Sherry often says, unconsciousness implies we're not there. Because if we had the information, that wouldn't have happened, right? And if there was awareness operating, if there was presence operating, then you would have been there for the still small voice. And what conditioning wants to do is to wrap that around regret and blame, rather than that happened. What is so now, and how can I be with what is so now? That's really the important piece of what the exploration is about. Because you can't go back and change all of the ways in which the unconsciousness happened. And you're opening yourself to seeing how the still small voice gets overridden, because that insight gives you the ability to stay more present, to be listening to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, so it just seems that it's that pull to wanting to go into the past is, and I saw this on a reflective listening buddies call the other, I think last week or the week before, around like that. So when I'm getting talked to, right, by the voices into going into the past, like that's actually the movement to stop that unconsciousness, like that happened previously. Like that's what I can do now is not go with it.
Precisely.
If I'm saying it clearly.
Yeah, yes. And let me see if I can reflect it back to you, right? So the way unconsciousness happens is if attention is on the conditioned conversation. And what you're noticing is that the way you are not allowed to be present here is how attention goes to the story of replaying what happened to you. And you're noticing that's my cue to go, okay, well, that's the process that takes me away from the now. So let me use that as a way to redirect the attention to being here. So that's my best way of staying here, is not to go with that conditioned conversation.
Yes, yeah, yes, exactly. And then there's that, stopping and kind of asking life, like, what what, right? I'm here, right? Getting here first, and then making myself available to what do I need to, what does it want me to hear or learn or see or do or not do, or, you know, and in that, I'm seeing this pattern of how kind of one of my, the ego survival mechanisms was burying my head in the sand. So I bury my head in the sand, which eventually, like, it just, that all of the ways that happens karmically in my life, that just doesn't care for the human. Mm-hmm. And and so it feels hard to say this, but I'm going to say it anyways because I think it's true. Is there are gifts in this, but ego doesn't want me to say that because that would mean, right, you know, that I'm not in its grips. Is that I'm getting to see gifts in this that that maybe I wouldn't have seen had it not happened. And and it just, it's so hard. There's so much fear that ego like hooks me into because I don't yet know what the consequences are going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's talking to you about what's going to happen as a result of an identification with it, right?
Yeah.
And that's another way that you can see how it takes you away from being here. And again, Laura, I think what we're pointing to is when we're here, we have to face what is so. And if you're really facing what is so, at this moment, you're not facing any consequences. But it wants to either take you into the past in order to regret what you did because it talked you into something and wants to blame you for it. Or it wants you to look at the future where you might have to face something hard because it talked you into something that it did before, right? And so both directions, the attention is being taken away from here, and your practice is to redirect the attention to here to say, what now life? And I project that you're getting to explore the what now, what's available, what is being here like when it's not burying my head in the sand, right? The way ego wants you not to say something, to distract yourself. Because the content answer, there might be no content answer. Because being here doesn't resolve any situation that ego is bringing up. It doesn't give you an answer. It doesn't tell you what the consequence, here doesn't tell you what the consequences will be. And here doesn't tell you what could have been different, right?
Yeah. 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 Yeah, and it feels like it's just kind of in some of those moments, it's just the best I can do is stay with the breath.
Yes. The best you can do is stay with the breath because in that moment, that might all be all that's there, right? Because if it isn't, then you are not here. I mean, both literally and figuratively speaking.
Right.
If there's no content, the only thing that you might have attention on is the fact that you're alive, existing here.
Yeah.
Moment by moment. And it is the best any one of us can do, right?
Right.
There's a somewhat of a relaxation in that breath in the sense that it's not you doing it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Because I project there's a tremendous amount of energy. It feels like an efforting, right, to battle the pull of these voices.
Yes. And so, you know, I was talking with my reflective listening buddy. It's like, it was just feeling like there was no way I can have peace around this content. Like, and that's actually not true. Mm-hmm. I've had moments of peace around it because peace isn't about the future, the past, the what ifs. The future is in getting out of the conversation.
Precisely. Yes. So there is. I mean, it is accurate when in some sense when the voice says you cannot have peace around the content, right? Because the content is never going to give you that sense of peace.
Right.
What is the sense of peace? It's to stay out of the conversation around the content.
Yes, which is not burying the head in the sand. That's the other places where I think I've gone to burying my head in the sand as a way to that avoidance, to get away from the voices. But it's just a different form of ego. It's not being with.
That's right. I would project that if what I'm tracking, what you're saying is distracting myself from the torture of the voices is not being with, it's avoiding. It doesn't equip you to be present to how it is. And I project that that's where speaking, letting the person speak about what's going on for her is important, right? Because in that avoidance mechanism, that ego diversion, what gets left behind is the human being who's having a hard time.
Yeah.
Either because the circumstances are hard, as our first caller mentioned, and it's challenging and painful, or because you're being caused to suffer about what the voices are saying about the circumstances, which make it even harder and more painful, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to be able to get in touch with what's going on for me that's really going on for me.
Yeah.
And how I'm feeling about it.
Yes. And it was interesting as I was, and I'll stop after this, that I was on the, when I was recording and listening about earlier today, like I could feel the difference between letting the person just talk and when I went into the story. Like I could feel the difference of the energy in the body, which is that ego narrative around why, and it's not fair, and, you know, don't people, you know, all that stuff, versus being able to just talk about what's going on. And that felt so important to differentiate and bring attention to that, to let this, I mean, there are times when maybe I don't realize that, and that can just be fine. But being able to recognize the difference between being in the story and just replicating the story versus being, you know, really listening to the person who's hurting or who's in the hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the difference being, it's important because one just feeds the ego and the other assists you to disidentify from it and really be with the energy that's there, right? And that's the movement you're practicing. And you're absolutely right, right? When we pick up the recorder, we might be talking from the identification until we disidentify and are able to see the person caught in the identification. And that's the process that we learn to practice. And as you said, you're aware, when you listen back, you're absolutely aware of how the shift is happening.
Yeah. So just thank you. And I share, you know, it's really hard for me to be vulnerable about the places where I'm struggling. So it just felt important to, when I could, to get on these calls with Sangha, with my community and you know, be real with what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And just to make the point we always make around that, right, Laura, that the vulnerability that we share is universal with everyone, because the places where we feel vulnerable are not where we're safe with life, but where we are vulnerable to ego. Right? Those are our suffering places, where the karma and the conditioning can actually take over.
Right. Because there's a whole story around that, like, this just shouldn't have happened, right? So there's this, I feel like if I can bring it to the place where I feel, you know, most safe, you know, it's really being able to not let ego control how I show up in Sangha.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's the place where you can be completely assured that there is no judgment, right? That the blame that the voices assign, no one believes that's who you are. We can all see, because we're disidentified from the content, that there's a human being caught in a process where self-hate is operating on her.
Yeah. Right? So grateful.
Yes. We're so lucky.
Yes, we are. Thank you to everyone.
Thanks, Laura.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. And Ashwini, I heard a lot of courage in that conversation, and I find it really inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was the word that was dropping in, right? The courage to be able to go up against against that worthy opponent, and to be able to bring that that struggle into a circle of acceptance like this one.
Yes, yes, it's just an amazing process to me, the whole how practice holds us through all of these experiences, through the good and the bad and all of it.
Mm-hmm. And in some way, right, Michael, we get reflected for our adequacy and for our courage and for our ability to stay with love and authenticity and our true nature despite what we might be going through.
Yes. Yes. Wow.
Because that's what I can't see for myself when I'm in the middle of it. Right? What shows up that's steadfast and patient and does all the chores and keeps together for the kids and, you know, all of that, that really just, while I'm dying inside, there's something that is still operating and functional and adequate and competent. And that's not what I'm in touch with when I'm in the depths, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And Ashwini, we're going to break here and hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Thanks, Nathan.
You're welcome.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Ashwini, I wanted to remind folks that there's an app for the iPhone to support recording and listening practice. It's called Practice Recorder, and it's on sale in the iPhone's App Store, and it's been a great support to my practice.
Thank you, Michael. And then, of course, we have, as we said in the announcements, we have a new class starting in January.
Yes, yes. And Ashwini, we have another caller here.
Wonderful.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jessica from Oregon.
Hi, Jessica.
Hey, Jessica.
Hey, how's it going?
It's been a while.
It has.
It's been ages.
I was just thinking the same thing, actually. And actually kind of looking at that process a little bit, that it's been a while. And so I just like as I'm sitting on the call here, I'm kind of watching how, you know, how the conversation kind of tries to, the part of the reason I haven't called in for a while is because I haven't, quote, had anything to say. And, you know, this is the idea that I have to, yeah. I have
the
to have.
Shut you down, yep. Tactic of ego,
Yep, yep, exactly. And, you know, and I was aware of it, and I was watching it, and I knew I was kind of getting, you know, identified with that. But that, it's so interesting for me, that place of showing up without having a plan, without having something to say, without knowing what I'm going to do. It's a new practice place for me.
Well, it really, would you say, Jessica, it's really what we say, right? Because most of the time, if I'm present, life speaks. And if I'm not, conditioned mind usually speaks, because what is being referred to is something other than life, right? That planning process, or that I've got to rehearse what I have to say, or I need to know what I have to do, is the identification with separation, right?
Yeah.
Because it's so good to see. It's so good to see how we think that that's just me, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been, you know, I've been, like I said, I've been watching it for probably close to a year, and that's been such a big part of the story of me. You know, like, I'm shy, I'm an introvert, I get really anxious talking to people, this whole story about who, quote, I am, and for some reason, this piece of, because that's it, right? If I show up in the moment, I don't have a plan, and I'm present, and ego can't exist. There is no story. Like, that's it. So,
exactly. Right.
Yeah.
If I'm here, I'm here for whatever it is that's going to come up. And it's interesting. Two things drop in when you say that, Jessica, right? Like, one is that which is watching the story is also perhaps part of the story, right? Because watching it does not allow you to transcend it.
Oh my gosh.
It should be one of the pieces of what keeps it in place is I get to watch the story, but then I don't get to say anything. I get to say something about the story, but I don't get to turn my attention to life and be here and say what life wants to say.
Oh my gosh, holy cow. Yeah. That's so huge. It's like resonating. I'm like vibrating. It's just really resonating with me. Mm-hmm. And that's the missing piece that I hadn't seen that. But I sensed there was something off. You know, that there was something I wasn't seeing. And that's it, right? Because another part of the story has been, well, I'm watching, so I'm present.
Yeah.
That's what we do, right? We watch. Well, I'm watching. Yeah. I'm doing what I do in practice.
Yeah.
Like, so I must be present. But then feeling like I'm not quite present.
Yeah, well, that sensing, whatever you're talking about, is the true witnessing, right? Where there's that sense of, okay, well, huh, I'm still stuck.
So that really, that kind of, that's the pointer, like that points right to it, to what.
Yeah, we are, it's the hardest process to see is the process I'm in, right? It's the hardest process to disidentify from, because I'm not even aware that I'm in it. And so that's sort of one of the reasons you put yourself in the queue and don't have a plan, right?
Right.
You train yourself to do that. We create the structures that force a an action that's independent of conditioned mind. It takes the decision away from conditioned mind, right? So you flip a coin, or you say every third Tuesday I'm going to put myself on the queue, because then you're not in the story trying to determine how to get out of the story. The structure forces it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. How amazing.
well, we're glad for whatever it is that caused you to put yourself in the queue.
Me too. Yeah. I knew I had
to. Well, and that place, right, Jessica, where I project you can sense this distinction here. You are talking. There is something, there's an experience you're talking from. It's not planned. It's not rehearsed necessarily. It's an exploration. If you turn your attention to the intelligence, it can give voice to what's going on with you that's unrehearsed but very, very material to the process you've been in, right? And you can always trust that if you turn attention to that place, it will talk.
Right. So what occurs to me when you say that is, like, so that's kind of maybe like a part of it is developing that trust.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, recording about, you know, as you explore this, what would happen if you didn't have a plan, right? What's the worst that could happen if you say something that, you know, that's unplanned or not rehearsed or not thought through or whatever else? Well, the worst is going to come at you, right? That's the fear.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is for you, but whatever it is, it's what dissipates when you have your own experience. They can't do anything to you if you said whatever you said without a plan, right? That's how you build the confidence to be able to trust the intelligence that is you. It's completely perfect. Just simply because it is, not because it has a plan or says something perfect, right?
Right. So that's like, that's the sort of knowing too. Knowing the perfection and knowing the just pure underlying goodness, quote, you know, unquote, of being.
Yes, because it isn't about content, right? The conditioned perspective is that somehow or the other, the content will be perfectly delivered if you plan around it. And so, but what you're trusting is that what you're trusting is the perfection of what is, regardless of what it says or does.
Oh, man. Wow. That's so
And that
huge.
Is what you're not allowed to be in touch with when the story is I'm shy or whatever else, right? Because you never experience that if you're shut down. However that happens, either because you're being told that that's how you are or because you're told to watch that's how you are.
Wow. That just kind of, when you put it that way, I mean, that is so powerful that it doesn't matter what's happening. Like, it's fine. It's perfect. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's it. Cause that just like wipes out, for me at least, that like the conversation just can't even get a foothold with that. Cause it just wipes out the whole premise of the whole thing.
That's exactly right. It basically cuts off the assumption, right?
Yeah. Because the whole conversation is really, there's something wrong. And if I just know there's nothing wrong and I show up, then that's it.
You can trust that, right?
Yeah. It's where you're coming from. If you're identified with all that is perfect, there is no conception of wrong in that, right? You have mm-hmm. to be in conditioned mind where wrong and right exist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the only place that they exist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Wow. It's so intense. It's so profound. Wow.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
There you go. It's that thing we say in the recitation of the prostrations, right? I take this form in divine space to express life wisdom.
Mm. Yeah. So that's it.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Well, thank you.
Well, we'll honor that silence, Jessica. That's not conditioned mind shutting you up.
Yeah. All right. Well,
thank you.
I'll be back soon.
We're hearing from you soon. Yes, exactly.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Okay. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jessica. Ashwini, it's all unplanned. It's all improv. who knows what I'm going to say next? It's just all unfolding perfectly and beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kelsey in Santa Rosa.
Hey, Kelsey.
Hey, Kelsey. Hi. Well, I too called in without a plan. I was pretty blown away, though, by what you just said about how watching is part of the story, because I feel like I spend a lot of time watching. And I sometimes have a suspicion maybe that's a lack of courage of getting out of the conditioning or something. Or I guess, a way of seeing the condition but not really doing anything about it? I don't know.
Well,
it's just that when you said that, I was like, wow.
Yes. Well, that to me is precisely where we want to be, right, Kelsey? Because we want to be aware of what conditioning is doing, but we don't want to be identified with the ego that's watching ego. Right, and that's a razor's
right.
edge place.
That's sometimes tricky to tell whether it's ego watching ego. It's the same when I record sometimes. You know, it can be like, is that ego or is that life that's answering me?
And sometimes the answer to that is not important.
Yeah, well, I have found because
we could get
caught
in noodling that forever.
Well, I think that's what I was doing because the last time I called, you asked me, was I recording and listening around that? And I wasn't, and I just wasn't using that tool. So when Jen did the 500-mile challenge, that was the main, commitment that I made that I was going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, even if I don't, pardon me?
The commitment was to record and listen.
Yes, every day, at least twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
I had other ones also, which have been good, like getting out of my house. I wasn't really leaving it and stuff. But I feel like the recording and listening is the linchpin.
Mm-hmm.
And,
absolutely.
It just starts moving everything else. There's a lot of things in my life that need taking care of, and and ego tries to tell me, well, you're not taking care of those things. You're just focusing on the stuff that doesn't matter. And I have almost fallen for that. And then it was like, oh, no, wait a minute. This is what's going to allow me to be present, to see what needs to happen with those things. You know, because I've been stuck with ego for a long time and none of that stuff is getting done.
So let me see if I'm tracking that, because that sounds like an important insight. So what you've noticed is that if you record and listen, you're aware of the conversation that says there's many things that you have to do that you're not taking care of. And if you do something like record and listen, doesn't get attended to. And recognizing that the conversation talking to you about what you're not attending to is really the reason why nothing is getting attended to. Because if all that energy was available, you would be attending to something rather than attending to the conversation. Is that what
that's
you
realize?
Right. Yeah.
Yes. That's it. Well, and also because I almost fell for it. It's like, oh my God, I am putting all this time into meditating and recording and you know taking care of my body, like going on walks and
training to be here.
You know, and then conditioning's trying to tell me that that's not a good. I mean, I was depressed before, and these have been tools that have gotten me out of depression, so it's like, no, that would not be good to fall for that story.
Oh, absolutely not. And there's where you want to do a recording, right? Because what you're seeing is the way, see, that's an important place to be watching and being aware, right? So now you've seen a piece of how the depression is maintained, which is give all of my energy to conditioned mind in a conversation about taking care of things, either worry or distraction or not being able to do it or whatever it is that's self-hating.
Or feeling confused about what to do next,
yes,
so that I'm paralyzed.
Yes, right, precisely. So confusion is basically looking to conditioned mind for clarity, right? And so...
Right, and it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And there's plenty of evidence. And so when you're listening to life and there are ways in which you could get out of the house, get your body moving, record and listen, meditate, and support yourself to not be giving attention to the conversation, what conditioning wants to say is those are things that are taking away from attending to what you need to attend to. But really what it's saying is, oh, you're not attending to me. I really need you to attend to me, right?
Exactly. And I just feel like if I keep doing the practicing and trusting that the clarity will come, you know, and I do find I'm starting to take care of some things almost without noticing it. You know, it's just not going to happen all at once. There's a lot of things.
Yay. Because again, right, that's another lie that conditioning says here are all these things to take care of, and it's overwhelming, right? But when we're present,
right,
what we're present to is what needs to be taken care of now. So what I'm trusting is I'm here to receive the information about what needs attention now and attending to that. And we find so many things get attended to when we're on that track, right? We're not overwhelmed.
Yes.
We're not listening to everything that needs to get done. Just the thing that needs to get done now. It's a marvelous way to live.
Yes. Yes. It's been great. I mean, the other thing that you've had some really good radio shows that have dealt with that is just accepting also the oscillations of practice. I do find that if I have some really good days, there kind of seems to be hell to pay sometimes a couple days later. But I've kind of caught on to that. Two,
very good.
And,
right,
you know,
yeah. That
just
there are
try not to let that.
Undulations and circumstances, as well as conditioning ramping up, is what you're talking about, right? So you're here, you're present, there's clarity, and then suddenly you're experiencing the voices escalate, and so that simply happens.
Yeah, or I've slipped back into an addictive behavior or, you know, but I do find I get out of it so much more quickly.
Yes.
It just seems like no matter how bad I'm feeling, if I just put in my earbuds and go for a walk and talk to the recorder about what I'm noticing, I come right out of it.
Yes. Well, you know, I wish Sherry, I'm sure Sherry is listening to this and is absolutely delighted, because one of the things she's always said is you cannot be depressed if you're recording and listening.
And it's hard for me to understand. I mean, sometimes they're rambling. I don't really listen back because they're kind of long and rambling, but it is kind of like going on a walk with a friend, and mm-hmm. I feel better, and my attention keeps the, you know, like ego would say, oh, we always walk around the neighborhood. It's boring. But actually, I've never walked before at that time. You know, it's always new. There's like a million things to see and notice. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's never.
And so a reflection of that is really that when we're present, we're not listening to a conversation about how something is the same as anything else, right? We're not in a comparative conversation, and so we're present to how something is as if it was brand new. And so I project what you're experiencing, right, Kelsey, is what happens when the attention is here. Walking, when we record, what we're doing is, no matter what we say, you're reporting on what the conversation is doing to you or saying to you or whatever else, but there's a way in which the movement is into presence.
Yes, it is. It's kind of magical.
It is completely magical.
And it's like I don't need a special recording technique or anything. I just
pick up the recorder
and walking in.
You know, yes.
If I say that, it's like, just go outside, you know, and notice some things you've never noticed before.
Yes.
And tell me about
that. Exactly. And I don't know if you've read the depression book, but that's it, right? That the movement moves the energy. And when you're moving, it's really hard for the attention to be wrapped up in the conversation. So now if you're moving and you're recording, what siphons your energy, that the attention on the conversation that siphons your energy is available to you. And you see that.
Yes. So
practice
I'm just
works.
Very, very grateful. I'm glad that you and Sherry just kept telling me you need to record and listen.
Yes.
A point
yes.
where it's like, I'm not going to yes. call in again until I've really tried that.
Good for you. Yeah. And there's
right.
a momentum
well,
that builds, right? When we get past the resistance and we keep doing it and we experience the benefits, we realize where we want to be, right? And we start to choose.
I think so. And I think that's helping carry me through, you know, when like I said, the oscillations, when it's just harder to get in that place or, you know.
Yeah.
You know, just very recognizing right. that some days are really good and some are harder, and sometimes it takes longer to get present, but that it does ultimately work. And
yeah,
and that,
as long
know,
as we
more
practice
more.
What we practice, we have. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's been really good to just, you know, not let the voices talk me out of it. And so many things have helped, like the 500-mile challenge. I mean, 5-mile challenge. you know, that made me sort of do the assignments for the end of the year-long retreat, which made a big difference. It's just been great, and I really appreciate that there have been so many opportunities to practice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, deep gratitude to the practitioner who put herself on the path, and then whatever it is, it keeps us going, right? And the practice structures that are being offered and taken advantage of. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, I think it would have been harder without having so many opportunities for practice and guidance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's been a wonderful year of being supported.
Yes. Right. Well,
all right.
Thanks,
Kelsey.
And thank you, Michael and Ashwini and everybody.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Kelsey. And so many practice opportunities, Ashwini. It's fabulous. And everyone seemingly speaking directly to me and my issues. It's, how do they do that? I don't know how that's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, hold mine. Michael.
Whole mind saves us again. All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everyone.
Michael.
And go happy.
Go happy.
Go happy.